Okay, I will call the meeting of Stansera to order.
That's fine.
If we can get a roll call, please.
Gordon Ford?
Here.
Donna Riley?
Here.
Maria Ziambas?
Here.
Jason Porter?
Here.
Mike Lynch?
Here.
Darren Garrett?
Present.
Mike O'Neill? Jeff Grover?
Here.
Jim DeMartini?
Here.
Joan Clendenon?
Here.
We have a forum.
Okay, announcements. Are there any announcements? Aha, we may be fast after all. Public comment, we have no public comment. Okay. Consent items.
Gordon, I would like to pull 5A, the minutes for last meeting. For a correction that needs to be made, we'll be adding the opposed vote by trustee O'Neill for item 8A. Otherwise, there'll be no other changes to those minutes.
Do we need to pull it, or you just want to make a change?
If it's okay, I'd like to make that correction.
Get it approved with this.
Approved with it, okay. So can I get a motion to that effect?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent items with corrections to the minutes from the February 25th investment meeting.
And I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second, so everybody in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that takes us to 6, Executive Director, response to trustee inquiry regarding disability.
All right, this is an item that trustee Clendenon requested a few weeks ago, and this is going to be presented, starting off with Dawn, by Dawn Lee, our benefits manager.
Good afternoon, everyone. At last month's administration meeting on February 12th, trustee Clendenon had a couple of questions about the disability process itself, and it was specifically regarding what kind of pre-screening is done for new hire employees and what kind of efforts are done to keep those retirees working even after a disability may occur. So we felt it would be most advantageous to have the experts come and talk to you about that, because that's actually part of the employer process of what they go through before they hire them, and they have a very detailed process to try to keep people working. So we have asked them to come and give us a very brief explanation of what those processes are. And I will love to introduce them in just a moment, but first I would like to tell you about one thing that we also do here, right here in our own office. There are two code sections, that 317.25.5 and 0.65, that allow for us to, we counsel our potential disability retirees, and then if they do get approved, these processes allow for them to take, if they're interested in continuing working, they just can no longer do their specific job. They work together with the employer, and if the employer has an open position anywhere within the employer that is currently open and the person meets the minimum requirements for that job and they're interested in that job, they can place once they're approved disabled by our board, instead of just taking their disability retirement and leaving, they can place these people into new positions. And if that new position pays a smaller wage, a lower wage than what the member was receiving in the job they're now disabled from, Stansera, in lieu of paying their monthly retirement benefit, can pay what is called a supplemental disability allowance. In this case, we would look at what the old pay was at the job they're disabled from, look at the pay for the new job, and we can pay the difference in between that. And so it accomplishes many things. It makes it so that people can continue to work, which is great, especially people with families that are able to, go on and they're working towards a regular service retirement, and it reduces the amount of benefit that is paid out through disability. So we currently have people participating in this. We have 5 of them right now. And it's a very successful program. It's gotten more popular over the years. And we're very excited to announce that we just have our very first person. One of the people who came onto this plan many years ago has been able to work another 15 years at least. Wow. and is now going out on a regular service retirement. So the plan can be very successful, and I'm very proud of our staff for the counseling that they do to encourage people to look into all of their options when disabilities occur. So that's something that's happening on our end, but specifically we wanted to let you know what is happening on the employer side, especially with the pre-screening process and keeping people at work. So, with all of that said, I would like to introduce to you our Stanislaus County Disability Management Team. We're going to start with the Assistant Risk Manager for Stanislaus County. This is Peggy Huntsinger. And then these are the two ladies that are going to work directly with our disabled or injured workers. Not all are disabled, but especially we're interested in our disabled folks. This is Megan Morris, and this is Dora Seaman. Now, I believe that Peggy is going to give us some information, and then she's going to give you the opportunity to ask any questions that you may have. So, Peggy, I'm going to ask you to take my seat at the table here, and you may begin.
Okay. So, our process is we have pre-employment physicals. Currently, we use Kaiser for that. So when someone is applying for a job with the county, once the job offer is made, we have the post-offer pre-placement physical testing. So they have a drug screen first. If they pass their drug screen, then they go on to a physical examination. The physical examination is different depending on what type of classification they're in. We have several levels. We have like the PP1, which is the general office type environment, a basic physical. The two would be people that work in the field that need hearing testing, maybe we're respirators, there's that type of testing that goes on. The three is people that work in the health area where they have some TB screening and some other medical screening that goes on. And then we have the post, and then we have people who work in hazmat. So the various testing is involved based on the job classification and their exposures. If they pass that pre-screening, then they are hired. And if they are hired, once they're hired, if they have a work-related injury, then we work with them to, if they have permanent work restrictions that prevent them from continuing in their original job classification, then we work with the CEO's office and with the department's HR staff to find them alternate or modified duty on a permanent basis. That's it, kind of in a nutshell. You probably have questions.
Questions?
If you have questions later that you think of, you can always let me know, and I'm happy to answer at any time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, wait a minute. I do have
a question. I thought that was too easy.
You don't have anything to do with the pre-hiring. It's only after there's a...
This is all pre-hire. So the pre-hire, the medical screening, that's before they're actually hired. It's post-offer pre-placement. So we extend an offer... But before they...
No. Before they're a county employee at all.
This is before they're a county employee. So the post-offer pre-placement is they go through the interview process, and we get ready to hire them, and it's subject to them passing the pre-employment physical.
But is that... There aren't requirements beyond passing that physical. I mean, the lifting the 40 pounds and the twisting around at the... physical therapist place.
So what type of requirements are you referring to or thinking of?
Like you don't have a current disability.
That's illegal to ask those questions. So when an employee comes to us, we're not allowed to ask if they have a disability or if they've had a prior workers' compensation claim. All of that is protected under the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Thank you. Yeah.
Is it ever the case that between the post-offer and pre-employment that you actually don't hire people?
Yes.
Is it, does it happen a lot?
No, but it does happen. And when it happens, before we retract our offer, we look at possible permanent accommodations before placing them. So maybe you have someone who can't lift more than 50 pounds and their job requires 100. We would consider if we could modify the current assignment, like we've hired a couple of nurses like that, because they didn't have to have the physical part of the job. They can do another work as a nurse. Mm-hmm. But let's say it was a deputy, something like that. They could not be hired as a deputy because that does not meet our minimum standards. The thing I didn't mention is you might be interested in is on our website, we have the job task analysis for all of the physicians that lists what the physical demands are for that job. So that might be of use to you. They're listed a couple ways, alphabetically, and then by department.
So I guess part of the maybe the question is, beyond the test that you mentioned, more specific to specifically that position, and a big, you know, how do you test being able to sit long hours, you know, that type of a thing. But that potentially is one of the issues that eventually becomes a longer term disability or otherwise.
That could happen.
I mean, and some of it, you know, just happens with age. We all get there. But so testing to the job task analysis.
Testing for that, and then there's also, as part of that screening process, there's a questionnaire that the employee fills out. And so when you're subpoenaing records and getting all the records, you want to make sure that you get that pre-employment questionnaire too. And I don't know that you always get those. We weren't always getting them in the workers' comp side, but we do try to make an effort to make sure that we get those, because we had one recently. A person who was hired has a condition that probably he wouldn't have been hired for. So we're getting that pre-screening questionnaire to find out if he did not disclose that information. And if they did not disclose that information when the specific question is asked, that's grounds for termination.
Is the majority of the rejections due to drugs?
No, there are some people that do fail the drug test, but and we don't see a lot of those because they don't even progress to the physical test once that drug test is a failure. And with the drug testing, it happens, we do a quick test. It's a 9-panel quick test that we test for, and we just met with the unions to expand that to incorporate a few more like synthetic opiates. We were only testing for specific opiates before, and drugs are always coming out new on the street. So Nancy Bronstein, the HR manager, just met with the unions to discuss with them expanding our 9-panel to include synthetic opiates.
So if it's not drugs, what would you say is the major cause?
Sometimes people have a weightlifting restriction,
okay,
and they can't be hired in the position they thought they were going to be hired in, like at parks.
Okay.
You know, and sometimes with a deputy, like with a deputy, part of their pre-employment screen is that they have a hearing test. So they may fail their initial hearing test, and if that happens, they have to have a HINT test, which is a hearing and noise test. Those are required by post that we have to offer. We can't screen someone out on that. But if they didn't pass their hearing and noise test, then they couldn't be hired as a deputy. So if you have, they don't meet the vision requirement. Post has their standards that they have to meet to be hired or be considered. And then they have psych evals, and a couple of departments have psych evals for their physicians. So we test as much as we possibly can, while staying within the lines of the law.
So you can't ask about whether or not they've had a disability.
No.
But can you structure your questionnaire so that if they had a significant issue, that it would come out?
The medical screening portion can ask that.
And
the employer cannot. So we have given Kaiser, who does our medical screening, a list of what the requirements are for our jobs. And they have the medical questionnaire that they have prepared, and they ask those questions. So first, the employee fills that out, and then a doctor does their exam, and they ask more questions throughout the exam.
And so the questions are, and the screening is the same for every department?
No. The screening is different based on the job classification. So as I mentioned, we have a couple of screenings. We have the generic one for, you know, most office workers who don't need to be, you know, super physically fit. And then we have the people that work like on roads or in DER that have some hearing requirements and respirator requirements, and they have those testings. We have people that fall into the DOT, Department of Transportation, and then that has the questionnaire from the federal government that they have to meet those DOT standards. And we do our screening. You might have seen some signs around town where chiropractors are now screening for DOT. They're not qualified to do that. Our screening for the DOT happens through Kaiser, and we have several people that have had to have further testing for sleep apnea, because if they have sleep apnea, they can't pass the DOT. So with Kaiser, when they go in for their test, if they're overweight or their respiratory is not that great, they'll make them do a sleep study, and they'll give them the equipment, they take them home, and that's done, and if they can pass that, then we will hire them. Sometimes people will go in for testing who maybe have high blood pressure, or some other non-industrial medical conditions. At that point, we'll say, you know what, when you can get your medical under control or go back to your doctor and maybe get on the proper medication, then you can come back and complete the test. But when it's not our issue, we don't treat them beyond that. We refer them back to their doctor.
So was the information, is that Kaiser Medical information, is that available to us or
to
is
you.
That confidential?
It would be available to you, the retirement board. You can ask for it. When the employee signs for the release, you can get that. We can get it through workers' comp, through a subpoena, or through a Kaiser release that the employee signs.
But
you
not
just have to remember to ask for it.
But not to prevent employment?
No, not to prevent employment. That's the ADA prevents all those things.
Vicki, how long have you been doing this?
I've been with the county for 19 years.
Have you noticed progressive changes over those 19
years? Oh my gosh, yes, yeah, tremendous. And when we formed our partnership with Stan Sara years ago, because when we first started with the GTAs, Stan Sara paid for half of them. The county paid for the other half. And then working with accommodating people in permanent assignments was in partnership with retirement. So, yeah, it's been great.
So is it safe to say that somebody who may not get hired today might have gotten hired 19 years ago?
Most definitely.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This may be a little bit off point. But do we ever, or is anyone ever prosecuted for cheating?
Yes.
And how often?
It's hard to get a fraud conviction, but we do, what we do in workers' comp is if someone is displaying signs of secondary gain or maybe they're, we have word that they're not as injured as they claim to be, we do surveillance. That's one thing that we do. And if we get good surveillance, we use that in a couple ways. Sometimes we use it, and if it's really bad, we would use it to prosecute for fraud. But for fraud, there has to be material misrepresentation. So it has to rise to the level of a lie and not just your suspicion. It has to be very easy to prove, or the DA will not prosecute. The prosecution can come from the DA or from the Department of Insurance. But we do submit those fraud filings with the department and with the DA's office. And occasionally, they will pursue those, and we have had at least one fraud conviction in Stanislaus County. When it doesn't rise to the level that we think we're going to get a fraud conviction, we use that film to maybe get the claim shut down. Like, the person realizes that they've been caught in a lie, and they don't want to get to the level of the fraud conviction, and they'll just, I'm all better, I'm, you know, and they move on. Sometimes they go get another job, and that's nice, too. So, the other ways that we use it when the person doesn't realize that they've been caught in a lie is that we show that film to the judge or to the doctors and get them shut down that way. So there's a lot of ways that we work to do it, but it's all within the confines of the law and it's not easy. We don't make it easy for employers, so it's for sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
There we go.
Thank you.
Move on to item B, legal update, three California court rulings on retiree health care.
Okay, in a second I'm going to turn this over to, again, Don Lee, our benefits manager. But I think these next two items are kind of being done in the spirit of pushing out more information to the folks instead of just throwing out emails to some of the things that are going on. Each administrative meeting from this point forward, I want to take about 5 minutes or so and just tell you at a very high level what's going on in the legislative and legal world that may have some implications on Stan Sara. And also, the next item, what staff is doing at a very high level so you can get an idea of the things that we're doing and what we're going through so you don't think we're just sitting around at our desks doing nothing. So.
Oh, good.
Don Lee, please.
Okay. In the past, I have occasionally brought you some legislative updates, and so we have decided to add some legal updates, too. So whenever we find information on cases out there that you may have already heard about, we want to give you an update on how they're moving through the system. So this time, we actually had three systems that had very similar subjects that were pending in court, and some decisions have been made. It involves Sonoma County, Orange County, and San Diego County. All three of these cases basically had to do with implied vested rights. And so we wanted to let you know that, well, the Sonoma County case is not completely finished. What they did give the retirees, they're going to allow them to amend their complaint. But then on the other two cases, both of them found that the implied rights, vested rights, did not withstand the court's definition. And so both of those are done at this point unless someone else appeals.
And the appeal period is passed?
No. I believe that they can still appeal again, I believe. But so this is what's going on out there right now.
Yeah, we don't intend for this session to be very highly discussed or debated, just to push information out there to let you know that these things are going on. And we also have these articles, if somebody wants to look into them in a little more depth, we have articles and we can give them to you.
Well, you know, with respect to the Orange County situation, our two previous CEOs very much interested in doing exactly that here, separating retirees from actives for health insurance benefits. Mm-hmm. And it might be good to know where Mr. Risen is on that now.
That's very interesting, but this is just to let you know what's going on out there. We don't need to discuss it.
I just wanted to add, I mean, considering changes in health care reform, I mean, is that really such an issue anymore? Because now under health care reform, especially for those that retire before 65, they're really in the larger pool of citizens within the state or the country, whatever may apply. So I don't think it's as much of an issue anymore.
It may not be, but I don't think we know yet. I don't think we know what the Affordable Care Act is going to do, or if it's even going to survive after about 3 years.
These issues are on the horizon, and there is something that we'll be discussing more as time goes
on. Updated as we go.
Yeah. I think it's okay. A fair question to ask, Mr. Rose.
Okay. Item C, monthly staff report.
Along the same lines, just pushing out more information, I just want to spend a few minutes to let you know five of the highest level issues that we have dealt with or are dealing with currently, and we'll do this each month at our administrative meeting. We have another Public Records Act request from the same group that did this about a year ago, Transparent California. They simply asked for the same data that they got for 2012. It's retiree information for 2013. Pretty much said they want to know the names of the people, all of our retirees, what they received in 2013, the final average compensation that was used to calculate their benefit, what their COLA is, and what their retirement formula is.
Do you recall what happened with it?
Last year?
Yeah.
It's out
mm-hmm.
online. When I got this request, I went to their website and looked, and all the stuff that we sent them last year is online. So what they're doing is they're cumulatively putting this information out each year. It's a very user-friendly site. It allows one to actually pick whatever system you want to look at in the state of California, click on the year, and you can actually download the information into an Excel spreadsheet. So it allows one to go out and pretty much grab data from any system and manipulate it in an Excel spreadsheet.
Is it searchable?
Yes. You can search by name.
Okay.
Very much so.
Can you search by amount?
I don't think so.
Because that's really what they're after.
Well, if what you're asking is, can you find out who the highest beneficiary is, the answer is yes, very quickly.
Because that's mostly what they're into.
The other thing is contract with Northern Trust. We have just finished wrapping up the custodial contract. We pretty much got everything we wanted in terms of fiduciary language. We are just finishing up the SEC lending agreement. There's a couple small issues that we're still having to deal with that we didn't think we were going to have to deal with. We thought that would be a slam dunk, but I don't anticipate there to be any issues there. We hope to wrap that up on Friday. Strategic realignment. We've been working for the past couple weeks in trying to decide where Stansera is going to be going and where they'll be in 5 to 7 years from now and the resources that we'll need. This is all part of the strategic plan that we put together last year, in the summer of last year. It's been almost a year now. We are in our first year of implementing the strategic plan, and it's a very important issue. We were looking at our technology needs, our human resource needs, our legal needs, and so forth. So we're going to put that together. We plan on bringing that long-term strategic plan vision to you probably in the next 2 to 3 months when we present the 14-15 budget. Prima, interesting little side note. We thought Prima was pretty much wrapped up in January this year. There was a miscommunication. Prima had, and it wasn't on our part, Prima had originally told us that all the changes that we were requesting that they could put in their LLC agreement, but now they just informed us a month and a half later that no, it would be too difficult to put that in the partnership agreement because we'd have to get buy-off from all the other partners, so, but we're okay with doing it in a side letter, which they originally told us in December, no, we'll do it in the agreement. Didn't have to do a side letter. So now we're back to putting it into a side letter. I don't know where that's going. It's been a month and a half since we've really had any substantive discussions with Prima. I'm assuming that they're going to agree with everything that we had originally proposed to put in the side letter, but I don't know where that will ultimately play out. And then finally, 31680.4, an interesting topic. We're halfway through putting together an agenda item that's going to lay out what the financial implications are, actuarial implications, what the increased costs could come out of this in terms of pension costs, what it will cost us to implement this into our pension administration software. We don't want to do this manually. If it's only one or two people, I can tell you right now, based on the research we've done, it's a fly on an elephant's back and it won't really matter. But having said that, we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we say we're going to process these manually and then it's a significant benefit that employees actually start to, or retirees actually start to take advantage of. We want to be able to automate the process if it does get to the point where more than just a handful of people take advantage of this benefit. So we are spending time and trying to figure out what it will cost to put this, to automate this process into our system. That's what's taking the most time with respect to this issue.
You know, it'd be kind of, and I hope I don't give anybody ideas, but you could retire, say, at 50 and take 5 years off benefits and payment and come back at 55 and you work to, anyways.
Start a
I could see that as a potential, anyways. Yeah. I'm not saying it's good or bad, I'm just.
You want to come back to work, Mom?
Before I close this item down, is this format here interesting to people? Is this this 5 minutes? I called it five on five. Five topics, 5 minutes.
And I like that format and that duration.
Perfect.
Good.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it.
So D.
All set.
6D is the Sacker Spring Voting Proxy. As of today, I know of two trustees that are confirmed that will be attending the spring conference. So unless there are any others that are changing their commitment to going or not, we have Darren Garrett going and Michael O'Neill.
Uh-huh.
So keep that in mind for your motion in voting for A.
Two people to pick on. How do you want to do it?
And an alternate.
I see a finger pointing.
Are we supposed to individually vote?
Well, we would entertain a motion to, unless someone wants to volunteer to be the...
Mike, you want to make a motion?
...voting delegate, and the other one want to be the alternate, but we only have two trustees this time to entertain.
50-50 chance either way.
Nice job last time. Yeah.
Experience. Something could be said for experience.
There's always new
Darren
experience.
Garrett's our voting delegate, and Michael is our...
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I like those easy ones.
Vote when it's not you.
Think of the energy we saved over everybody having to fill in a stuff.
And I wonder how many people are going to volunteer to go now.
That's true.
Yeah, now we
can all go. Darren's dedication for you, right?
Right.
Okay, E, discussion action on recommendation ballot.
That is the item that Sacker sent forward as their proposed item for their business on the last day of the spring conference, which Darren or Mike will be voting for. It's the nominees for the committee for 2014 to 2015.
We're just, again, looking for your approval on these fine folks.
We can let them vote?
Yes, they'll vote for Andrew.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Has our board ever had anyone on the Sackers board?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you go back far enough.
Actually, I think it was Tom Watson was the last on the board. He was
treasurer.
Makes sense.
Were you nominating yourself?
No. No, I was not. I was just curious.
We've been contacted, but...
I have a job.
That's the problem.
I'm not sure if West Hall might have been on at one point.
Yeah, I was going to say, go back. I think it's fine. We need a vote on this or anything?
Prestigious. I'd like a motion to approve.
Can I get a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Oh, good. Motion and second. All figured by saying aye?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We're already down to closed session.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we move into closed session.
Second.
Yes. Okay, motion for closed second. All in favor saying aye by saying aye?
Aye.
Aye. Move into closed session. Back in open session.
We have nothing to report out, correct?
Yes, we do.
Well, the decision.
I have a report out for item 7A. A motion was made by Maria Deanda and seconded by Donna Riley to accept staff recommendation to grant a non-service-connected disability retirement for Sandra Ortega effective October 24th, 2013. Motion carried. And no other items to report out.
Okay, so we go to any future items, Maria?
Nothing for me.
Nothing for me.
Really?
So I don't know when it's appropriate to bring up this. It's not a big item, but we're talking about non-traded REITs, and there are third parties in that industry that we could talk to, and I have a couple of names and numbers, and I think it would be valuable for at least Rick to call in and chat with them and see what kind of due diligence they've done in the industry and what information or advice they could bring to us.
These are folks that would do due diligence on the people that we are expecting to bring
all to managers in the non-trader REIT space.
I got you. All right.
So there's three that are well respected.
Okay.
Third parties in the non-trader REIT space, and I think we should talk to one or two of them.
Can you give me their information?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, a couple of them put reports out on the industry.
Okay.
And there's one that's that they get paid by the industry to do those reports. So how, you know, fair and unbiased is it? This another individual that I'll pass his name and number on to you, and he literally just gets paid by groups like us.
Okay.
To give
like on an ad hoc basis.
Yeah, clear information on what's truly going on and what the hiccups are in the industry and who's done well and who's not.
If the cost is non-prohibitive, then I won't even bring that to the board. We can just do something like that.
Well, he'll talk to us for kind of like going to an attorney the first time.
Like
kind of just tell us what you're on, what you're up to, and then he'll make a presentation as far as cost. It's not going to be much.
Okay.
You want to do that informally with Rick as opposed to bring it back to the board as a formal session?
Well, I don't know. I brought it up here because I didn't know when to bring it up.
I think we can do it. We can just get these guys to do some work for us. I don't think we need board approval. I think it's probably going to be a nominal cost, and it's probably going to be well worth it.
And I think the board likes information.
Yeah.
I would feel better if we talked to them before we make an investment in an asset such as the
Great.
Non-traded.
Okay.
Great. Why don't you two work together then?
Perfect.
Sounds good. Jim?
I have nothing today.
Nothing for me.
All right.
I would just like to thank staff once again. March is always the busiest time of year for retirement applications, and on today's agenda, I would like to make a note of on the consent calendar that we previously approved. There were 51 service retirements and 9 deferred retirements.
What was our highest?
So that is a lot of information to pull through. It's a lot of information to coordinate with county payroll, and it's just a lot of time that you have to sit down one-on-one with these members, county employees, making the biggest decision of their lives. And so I would just like to compliment staff once again for another busy retirement season. So thank you all very much.
Scary.
So I'd like to add to that, in one fell swoop, the number of retirees that we administer benefits to increased by 1.3%. I think that may not seem like a lot, but in 1 month relative to what we have, that's a lot.
Yeah.
When we did the enhancements, I think is when we had the largest group.
To the best of my knowledge, I believe it was, and I believe that we had 72 in March of 2002.
Yeah, I remember that long list.
But that was an enhancement. Having 51 is still a high number.
Very well, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, that's all I have, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
There's still many more pending for March 30th.
Oh, okay.
That are still on the mark.
Oh,
wow. Well, I look forward to your diligent work a year from now, so thank you.
That's what it was prepped for. Mike, how are we doing?
No, sir. Nothing. I'm done.
Okay, staff.
I have one small issue to bring up. I'd like to get your thought. It's not business related, but I'd like to get your thought on reconfiguring the boardroom and getting away from this conference table type atmosphere, and to see if we can perhaps put you all along the wall and the window, and we'd move the projector over here, and so staff would be facing all of you instead of me.
More of a round table or horseshoe?
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with this atmosphere here. I think it creates a little bit of an air of informality, and I think that if we can get you all up facing staff, I would feel more comfortable, and I could look each of you in the eyes and not have to stretch and strain. And I think it also would produce more of a formal atmosphere here in board meetings. So I just want to know if that's something that you would be comfortable with.
As long as we can get in and out behind the table.
No, that ought to be. That sounds something that'd be okay with you?
Yeah, and as long as we make sure we incorporate a process for public attendance and public input in that as well.
Absolutely. I actually think it might clear up a little more room. This table is pretty big, and I don't necessarily know if we need this wide of a table here. So.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
We're adjourned.